Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And it is a great word, as always, this morning. I can only say thank you, Lord, for this day that you have made. Hallelujah. Grateful for the do-over. And just wanted to give a shout-out to the Springfield Ministerial and Vicinity Ministerial Alliance for 12 days of revival. I was not able to make all 12 days due to other obligations, but I have to say I went last night and it was awesome. Got a healing on myself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Pastor Doss. One of many Pastor Dosses. But I just wanted to say thank you to Pastor and Mrs. Doss of what a night. It was just a wonderful, wonderful evening. Just praising God, grateful, thankful, and blessed that God woke me up this morning, that God put a pep in my step, hallelujah, and a love for him in my heart. The word that God gave me today is not as I will, but as you will. I learned that a long time ago, 11 and a half years precisely, when my husband passed away. I learned not mine, but God's will. So many times we want our will to be done. As we all look and see how many people have died from COVID, have died from heart conditions, have died from diabetes complications, have died from cancer, and have died from so many other ailments and issues. And we want to say, but Lord, he or she was this or that. But again, it's not our will, but God's. Jesus even had to speak this in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying. And he was praying, let this cup pass me by. He didn't want to die. But he had to come to the realization, not my will, but yours. Not mine. He knew that he was here for a purpose and a reason. He was here for a purpose. And a reason. And that purpose was to die. To take our sins to the cross. To die for us. I will, but as you will. When we pray the prayer to our Father, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done. Not mine, not yours, but God's will. And even Jesus said it, not as I will, but as you will. And when we get an understanding that things don't always go the way we want them to, don't always plan, the plans I made 12, 13, 14 years ago, 20 years ago, some have come good, some have come to fruition, others have not. Because, again, not mine, but God's will. 17 years old, God knew he was calling me, but I thought I was going to do what I wanted to do. And I did. And he gave me grace with it. But then when he called me to do his will, which is what I do every day I come on this air, God's will, because this is what I was called to do. This is what I was educated to do. This is what I accepted the call to do because I love God. Grateful that he loved me back. Jesus knew when he came that he had an assignment. And his assignment was us. Saving us. Not by might. Not by power. But by his spirit. Father God, we come to you this morning, lifting up the precious and holy name of Jesus. Thanking you, Lord, for your sacrifice of your son for our sinful, stiff-necked selves. Father God, I ask you to forgive us of all sins, seen, unseen, and thought. Father God, I ask you to heal this land. Heal this land of this horrible plague. Heal this land of the hate and divide. Heal this land of bloodshed and woe. Heal this land of violence and strife. Heal this land of hate and distrust. Lord God, we ask for love. We ask for faith. We ask for truth and honesty, not alternative facts and lies, but truth and honesty. Father God, in this month of love, let us love. Let us love more than hate. Let us see the Holy Spirit in our brothers and sisters. Help us to be positive in our speak, positive in our walk, positive in our lives. Help us, Lord God, to have an algorithm of positivity and not negativity, of hope in the future and not in a plague. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray that this word that is about to be read this morning touches someone's heart, touches someone's mind, touches someone's spirit. Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Father, please accept the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. For Lord God, you are my redeemer. You are my strength. You are my father, and I just want to say I love you, Daddy God. And I want to do as you will, not mine. For Lord, I know your will is best for me. In the name of Jesus, I lift up this word. I lift up every listener that listens live or later and ask you, Father God, to please bless them and guide them and lead them as many minister in song and music and in word and poise. I ask you, Father, to please bless them in all their endeavors. And Lord, I ask a special blessing over my pastor as she, as she said goodbye to our husband on yesterday. But it wasn't a goodbye. It was a see you later in eternity. For we know that your word tells us absent from the body is in the presence of the Lord. So, Father God, we know that Pastor Paul is with you. And it was your will that you brought him home. So, Father God, we thank you for your grace and your love and your desire to not allow Pastor Paul to suffer in any way. For you spent time with him and he with you. And he said, you will get the glory, God. And so, Father God, as he was a faithful listener to this, so I say, Lord, you get the glory in Pastor Paul's name today. You get the glory in the name of Jesus. You get the glory in the name of the Holy Spirit. You get the glory always because you are, and we are your humble children. Lord God, thank you for increasing as I decrease. Father God, I thank you for giving me a voice today to give you praise, to give you honor, and to give you glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Your will, not mine. Be done. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm having a little bit of a voice issue this morning, but God, hallelujah. I will not falter in what I do for God. I might sound like a whisper, but hey, God is going to get the glory because God's going to make my voice stronger as we go through this word. I know it. I believe it. I trust in God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And today we're going to be a little different. We're going to start in our New Testament word, and then we'll go back to our Psalm and Proverb after Matthew. This book, first and foremost, first book of the New Testament, is awesome. Matthew breaks it all down. You know, we know that as we go through the Gospels, it gets a little different from, because it's from a different perspective. So every time we look at the Gospels and know that when we read these stories of what Jesus did, that when it's spoken by Peter, or spoken by John, or spoken by Mark, or spoken by Luke, that it may be a slight difference. Why? Because one is hearing it from somebody else, Luke. One has lived it, but his may be a little different perspective. So we know that it's going to be a little bit different, but the overall is the same. Hallelujah. So thank you, God, that we can read the gospel. Thank you, God, that we can read this basic instruction before leaving earth, because there are some countries in this world where you are not allowed to own a Bible, where you're not allowed to know the word of God, because it makes some people feel uncomfortable, and so they ban it. When something makes you feel uncomfortable and you think you have to destroy it and to ban it and to get rid of it, be careful. Don't get caught up in that crazy. And then a lot of those people wanting to ban in America are people who believe in this word. But understand, in some other country, there's people that don't believe in this word and want to ban it. So we need to be very, very careful when we start saying, yeah, that's right. Stop and think and pray. But pray, stop, and think. Hallelujah, because God is wanting us to think and to use this beautiful brain that he gave us and to ask him for guidance, his will, not ours. Hallelujah. Thank God for daily life. Thank God for the do-over this morning. Thank God that he gave you another day, because somebody didn't get it. And somebody who didn't get it was not saved. So pray. Pray and pray some more. As Sister Carolyn tells us on the regular, push, pray until something happens, y'all. We got to pray for our nation. We got to lift up America and ask God to heal the land. And I can say, and I again, shout out to Pastor Jenkins, who was the author of the 12-day fast. The enemy tried to stop him, but God. But God. And I can say it was mentioned on last night. Again, shout out Ministerial Alliance and Bishop Jonathan Franklin, and all the Alliance members. I say this, as I was at the revival last night, it was a very great statement by Pastor Gary Sheet, where he said, since we have been in these 12 days of fasting, there has not been one shot fired in Springfield. Not one act of violence has happened over these 12 nights. And over these 12 nights in Illinois, the coronavirus has gone down. The cases are going down. In these 12 days, the cases have gone down to the point where the governor is saying that you don't have to really wear a mask because it's gone down that much. I choose to wear a mask because of my own situation, but I tell you this, control. Prayer changes things. Pray, people. Pray, 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 and pray some more for the healing of this land from the physical, from the mental, and from the downright craziness and divisive speech that comes out of mouths of those that say they love God. We've got to become unified. Jesus has already given us a blueprint. A house divided against itself cannot stand. We cannot stand if we continue to be divided. Pray until something happens, family. Matthew chapter 26, it says, now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these things, that he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. And when Jesus was in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, a woman, and some say it was Mary, but it doesn't say Mary in this particular section. It just says a woman, came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil. And she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. As surely I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, that this woman, what this woman has done, will also be told as a memorial to her. Hallelujah. And that is what has happened. She even has a song, CC One, it has Alabaster Box. Woo, hallelujah. That song, I cannot hear it. When I hear those words, you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. No one knows the cost of your pain. No one knows the cost of your heartache. No one knows the cost that you have given for God. Hallelujah. You don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. This young woman, this woman who they wanted to call everything, gave her oil for Jesus. And as Jesus says, as surely I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Hallelujah. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priest and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from the time he sought opportunity to betray him. This is one of his people in his circle of 12 that he called. But he was called to be a betrayer. Let's call it straight. How many times have you thought someone was your friend? Thought someone was in your corner? But all they wanted to do was wait for an opportunity to betray you. Wait for an opportunity to try to do you in. Even though you've helped them, you them from losing their jobs and all kind of stuff. You kept them maybe from losing their husband. You may have kept them from walking down the wrong path. But you don't know they have a secret dislike for you. You may have been the one whose home they stayed in when they didn't have a place to live. You have maybe even the godparent of their children. You may even be their sibling or their child in betrayal. The hardest betrayal is Judas. Why? Because he was a thief and he had a jealous spirit. He didn't care less about the poor, but he was the money man. And money was what he was concerned with. What did he say? And what will you give me? Are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? Money. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, including betraying who is your friend, who is your Lord, who is your Savior. But understand, again, Judas didn't know he was doing God's will. God's will was for his son to die. Did what he was supposed to do. He played his role in this drama. Hallelujah. And this is what it says. They counted out 30 pieces of silver. So from that time he sought opportunity to betray him, him being our Savior. Now on the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, 'Lord, is it I?' He answered and said, 'He who dips his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes at just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born.' Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, 'Rabbi, is it I?' And he said to him, 'You have said it.'" Jesus let him know, "I already know what you did. I already know what you did. I know you are my betrayer." And as we continue, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" Every time I read this, I get filled up because I think about the fact that our Savior gave himself for us. That he knew going to die, and he gave us an opportunity, a consecration, to say, "Every time you eat this bread and drink of this cup, remember me." Hallelujah. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this root of the vine from now on until the day when I drink anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Be careful what you say. Careful what you say. And this is what Jesus had to tell Peter. Just Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Hallelujah. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. And we know they scattered like flies. Let's keep it moving. It says, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, hallelujah, but as you will. Again, Jesus said, and we must say when we pray, not as I will, but as you will, hallelujah. We don't know what cup God has for us. We don't know what God wants from us or wants us to do, but we must say, not as I will, but as you will. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Again, not as I will, God, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? We have difficulty getting people to come to prayer service for 1 hour. 1 hour with God. And folks don't have time for prayer or coming to prayer service. And I'm speaking because I have been there, not having time to go on a Tuesday night for 1 hour of prayer. But God is saying we must have that 1 hour with him. Even Jesus said, you could not, come on now, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him. And immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And we know that was Peter. Mr. I won't be scattered. I'm tough. I'm rough. Oh, I got this thing. And then it goes and says, but Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Did you catch that? All these folks running around, shooting up, killing each other, don't understand. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. You lie, and a lie will be, someone will lie on you. You speak negativity all the time, negativity will come back on you. You praise God and watch God bless you. Praises go up, blessings come down. Prayer, more power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. We better understand words have meaning. And Jesus told him, your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? In that hour, Jesus said to the multitude, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clothes to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. What did he say? They would be scattered. Let's go back to the scripture. What did Jesus tell them? I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council saw false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said to him, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, it is as you see it. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. What did we read not too long ago? Don't go over there. Don't go out. He's not there. Don't let folks trick you with the okey-doke that Jesus is in Florida. Oh, no, he is in Arizona. No, he is in West Virginia. No, he is, oh, wait a minute, he's over there in Israel. He is, oh, no, he is in the desert. He is in Australia. He is in Hawaii. No, he's in Jamaica. What did he say? I'm not there. You got to look up. Because when you look up, what did he tell you? That he will be coming on the clouds of heaven. Hallelujah. And the angels will be with him. Better be prepared. He is not going to be anywhere that you think. Just look up. Look up. Hallelujah. And it goes on to tell us, then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. Ooh, just what do you think? They answered and said, he is deserving of death. Then they spat on his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you? How evil. It's how evil. And he goes and say, now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. When he had gone out to the gate where another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. Immediately, a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. Hallelujah. Not my will, but yours. Jesus knew everything that was going to happen. But he did what he had to do because that was his assignment. He did what he had to do because he came for us. Whew, hallelujah. He came to deliver us. And he came to deliver us. And deliverance I receive. Whew, he came to deliver me. And that's what I believe. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And this is a word, again, from Life Lessons from Dr. Stanley from this word this morning. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 13, it says, as surely I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. The woman could not have known that what she did that day would be memorialized in God's word and distributed to the ends of the earth. God loves to reward faithful devotion to him. Hallelujah. She had no idea that that little ask alabaster box, but it doesn't really say. It tells us that our little alabaster flask. Let me call it right. I'm getting CC and the woman mixed up. But it was a flask, which is a little bottle of oil. It wasn't a box. It was a bottle of oil. And she gave that bottle of oil. And y'all understand that what she had was probably extremely costly. As we'll see in one of the other gospels, it talks about how many denarii this little flask of oil was worth. But she gave it willingly to the Savior. You know, we got to understand that God has an assignment for everybody. Not as I will, but as you will. Hallelujah. That woman gave her all for Christ. Will you give your all for him? Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Jesus' example of sacrifice. And this is a life's question. It says, some believe that Jesus came to show us how to live a good life. And to be sure, he is our example of righteousness. We are to become like him. But that isn't the reason Jesus came. Jesus came to die to become the sacrificial, substitutionary, all-sufficient atonement for our sins. He was the lamb slaughtered for our sins. He was the sin offering for us. Hallelujah. If Jesus didn't come to die, there is no purpose in the cross or the resurrection. The New Testament consistently confronts us with the message, Christ died for us. Jesus came so that you and I might transfer our guilt to him and accept by faith that as the guiltless one, he has received our sin and taken it to himself. If you are looking for forgiveness on the basis of your pleas, promises, and performance, then you will remain in your sin. Only if you accept his sacrifice will you open yourself to receiving the fullness of God, life-giving spirit. Hallelujah. And I say that living water that can only through Jesus, our Savior. Hallelujah. Life lessons, Matthew 26 and 29. I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. The Lord's Supper not only looks back to the sacrifice of Christ's death, it also looks ahead to his glorious reign. It both memorializes and anticipates the work of Christ and invites us to remember and to celebrate. Hallelujah. Do this in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. Matthew 26 and 37, he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Isaiah called the coming Messiah a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Isaiah 53 and 3, and in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus faced sorrow like he had never known truly. He was in all points tempted as we are. Jesus probably wanted to say, I don't think I want to take this cup. I don't think I want to do this. But he did it. Why? Because of his love for us. And our last life example from Matthew is Matthew 26, verses 69 through 75, and this is Peter's denial. Denying Christ. When we read about Peter's denials of Christ, we may be tempted to feel a little self-righteous. After all, Peter walked with Christ for 3 years, possibly refused his friend and rabbi. How could he turn away from the one he called the Son of the Son of the Living God, the Christ, the Son of the Living God, Matthew 16:16. True, the situation was very tense, and we can understand why Peter would be fearful. Yet he completely disavowed knowing the Lord Jesus. His denial strikes us as wrong to the very core of our being. We're sure we would never deny our Savior in such a terrible way. Girl, I ain't denying Jesus because Jesus did this, that, and the other. But then you got a gun at your head, and you said, Jesus, and they say, don't call that name. Tell the truth. He's not this. He's not that. He's not the other. Will you say, yes, he is, and die? Or will you deny him to live? But we all know that to die is to live, and to live is to die. Come on, y'all. We don't stand on the word of God. But all we can say is, Lord, give me strength. Yet before we condemn Peter's action, we must take a long look at ourselves. How often do we doubt that God will help us in a difficult situation? Come on now. How often do we avoid the subject of religion so that we will not have to tell people we're Christians? How often do we indulge in sins that are clearly prohibited by God's word? Though Peter denied Christ in a way that was wild and public, we may deny Christ in hundreds of smaller ways every day. So we must ask ourselves, how often do I deny Christ's existence in my own life? We know that Peter was devastated by his actions, Matthew 26 and 75. We also know that later he would completely change his attitude about being Christ's representative. In 1 Peter 4 and 14 and 16, he tells us, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. Peter rejoiced that he was counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, Acts 5 and 41. We must also allow the Holy Spirit to make that change in us. We must come to the place where Christ comes first in every area of our life, no matter what the consequences. Are you there, friend? Or will you continue to deny Christ with your actions? Like Peter, you must make your choice. The Savior is waiting. And again, the word, not my will, but yours. We got to understand God's will is absolute trust in God. Let's go into some Psalms and Proverbs while we have a little time here. And our psalm this morning is Psalm chapter 21, starting at verse number 8. Your hand will find all your enemies. Your right hand will find those who hate you. You shall make them as a fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their offspring you shall destroy from the earth, and their descendants from among the sons of men. For they intended evil against you. They devised a plot which they are not able to perform. Therefore, you will make them turn their back. Woo! What a word. Psalm chapter 22, verses 1 through 8, and we'll go back and do life lessons after the psalm and the proverb. For Psalms and Proverbs. It says, to the chief musician, said to the deer of the dawn, a psalm of David, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that's what Jesus said on the cross, a fulfillment of the word of God. Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and I'm not silent, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man. David is speaking about himself. A reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. And we know Saul was chasing David like he was a deer in the headlights. And let's not forget his own son went after his father. Come on now. David went through some stuff, but David did some stuff. But always, through this word, one thing you learn when you talk about King David, he was a repentant man. He repented of his sins. He repented every time. He didn't fall into sin and not repent. God, forgiveness, and we got to repent. And repentance comes with sacrifice. Psalm 22:9-15. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God, but not far from me. For trouble is near for those, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. Wow. What a word. We go through. But God. Just always remember in your heart, but God. He's always there with us. And he will never leave us or forsake us. We stand on God's word. What did Jesus say again? Not my will, but yours. Hallelujah. We got to ask God that his will, not ours, be done. Verses 1 through 5. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill. Besides the way where the paths meet, she cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools be of an understanding heart. Listen, verses 6 through 11. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things, for my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands. The right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver. Come on, Judas. Come on. Can you say it again? Thousands of years before this happened. But understand, it's a word for Judas. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. We got to ask the Lord for wisdom. Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. We need wisdom. Hallelujah. Thank God daily when he gives you what you need and more than what you can ask for. For the Lord loves us. The Lord cares about us. And the Lord wants us to be the best that we can be. And as we continue in our word this morning, this is continuous of Proverbs chapter 8, verses 12 through 21. And it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. I'm going to read that again. What it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. We seek wisdom. Riches and honor are with me, enduring the riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of right in the midst of the path of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. But again, it's not about money. It's about understanding. And with understanding, we ask God for wisdom. You know, all the riches and all the stuff in the world mean absolutely nothing if you don't have the wisdom to keep it. And this is what it says in Psalm 26 and 6, and we're looking at life lessons now. It says, you have made him exceedingly glad with your presence. God invites us to ask him for things. But even the things he gives us will never make us happy. Only his presence can do that. The deepest delights are found only in him, not in any of his gifts. Hallelujah. God loves us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for your love. Thank you, Father God, for caring about us. Your will, not ours. Always, Lord. Letters 21 and 8, your hand will find all your enemies. Your right hand will find those who hate you. A classic sermon from many years ago was titled Payday Someday. We can come to God in faith and receive his pardon of grace, or we can reject his offer of life and become his enemy. Those are the options. Accept or deny. That's what I say. We can accept God or we can deny God. The choice is yours. But understand, you don't want to be an enemy of the Father. You don't want to be a disrespectful child. Whew, hallelujah. Psalm chapter 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Jesus knew more about feeling abandoned by God than we ever will, but in his case, it was more than a feeling. For a moment, God turned his back on his son when he became sin for us. Matthew 27 and 46. Whoo, Jesus. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. As we grow spiritually, we gradually change from trying to stop doing the evil things that we really want to do to actually hating the evil thing so that we no longer want to do it. Hallelujah. Thank God today for loving you. Thank God today for being with you. Thank God today that his will is to love on you. Not as I will, but as you will. When Jesus said that and he believed it, so should we. Not as I will, but as you will. And that is our word for this morning. And all I can say is thank you, God, for this magnificent word today. Thank you, God, for your loving son. Thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, God, for loving us more than we love ourselves. Thank you, God, for imparting wisdom. And the word that our sister in Christ gave us for this morning from Carolyn's gift is a scripture. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Proverbs 3:5-6. Have a blessed Sunday, family. We have about 3 minutes to go. If there's anybody that God, anyone that God has put something on your heart to speak to our audience this morning, now is the time to push the one on your phone and your line will be opened. If not, we have our word of departure. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' holy and precious name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. And remember, not as I will, but as you will. To our Father God, we pray daily. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, again for this wonderful message. Thank you for your son and his life and his death and his resurrection. For we know he came to teach us, to guide us, that he died carrying all our awful, wicked sins to the cross that we may have access to you one day, Father God, as he intercedes every minute, every hour, every second of the day for each and every one of us, Father. All we can say is thank you. And Lord, I pray that this word has added a blessing to the reading and teaching, and that those that hear it will know that you are in charge and the creator of. In Jesus' name, I pray over each and every person, asking you, Father God, to continue watching over them and theirs as they travel, as they rest, as they grieve, as they move forward. Bless them and watch over them. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed day, family. It is, as we say, on moving forward, it's a wrap. Why? Because it's time to go to work. We go to church to work. Hallelujah. Let us be servants of the Lord today and always. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap. And again, as we always say every Sunday, make sure you find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. If they don't open the Word of God, take your word and walk out the door. Have a blessed day. It's a wrap.